Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. Let's continue on with the 14 things in prophecy, and we'll sort of back up and catch up with a couple of things here that we need to, and go ahead from there. Number four was Mark of the Beast, and we have that at about seven. Well, for Sweden, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Denmark, put it at nine. Nine. They're the most fully digital economies in the world. And the last step is the digital. Long as you have a card in your hand, not on your hand, if you hold the card in your hand, but if you have it on your right hand or in your forehead, and even in Sweden, there are companies experimenting with that. And one of the biggest problems that we have today is to identify people. Who are they? Where did they come from? Now, also, just on the news last night, those nations are sending back any, or let's put it this way, not any, but up to two-thirds or higher of the refugees coming from the Middle East. So there's already a backlash. And there's a backlash in Germany beginning right now, which is pretty strong. And as we mentioned last week, the book that was just recently republished, banned for 70 years because of the copyright, Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. So we'll have to see how that goes. Yeah, good comment. In India, the government is in the process of identifying everyone. They're doing fingerprints and eye prints, from what I understand. And for the poor, they are issuing cards so they can get food and necessities. Now, we're going to... Let's start here in Ezekiel 33, because many of the things that we have to cover are big, dramatic things that will affect everyone. So the things we are talking about, some way or another, it's going to affect everyone on earth. Now, right now, there's a lot of economic unrest, and I'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But there's a time to speak nice words, encouraging words, and there's a time when we have to cover the things that are not so nice. And so if you're really, really sensitive to things that may trouble you, and you don't like to hear of them, then I think what you need to do is fortify your emotions so you're not carried away with it. And as I mentioned last week, and I'll mention again this week, remember the second resurrection. God will take care of all of the problems at that time with most of the people, because it's going to be with what is going to go on in the world and with the return of Christ coming back to the earth. It is going to be disaster upon disaster upon disaster. So we need to speak about it. Now, it may be a year down the road, 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road. We don't know how far down the road it will be with some of these things. But nevertheless, they're going to take place because the word of God is true. Now, Ezekiel 33, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring a sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and set him for their watchman. Now, one mistake too many churches of God have made is this. Either the leader of the church or a minister says, I am Ezekiel's watchman on the wall. No. Ezekiel is the watchman on the wall, and his message we all need to carry, because these are the words of God which apply at the time of Ezekiel and apply any time down through history, because he said here, when I bring the sword upon a land. Now, not only Israel, but did he bring it upon Babylon and upon Persia and upon Greece and upon Rome? Look at World War II. Verse 3. If when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the ram's horn and warns the people. God wants people warned. Also, what is another benefit that comes with that for those who really pay attention? It's an opportunity to repent. Yes. And that's what God wants. We will see. Even though God has to bring all of these things because he is righteous, and because of sin, and because of Satan the devil, he would rather not have it be that way. And he says so. We'll see it in just a minute. Now, verse 4. Then whoever hears the sound of the ram's horn, anyone, and does not take warning. Isn't that true? Most people wait for the last minute for everything. I was thinking that the other day while I was driving my car. Okay? I had to go over to Gilroy and back. And my tank was really low on gas. So I thought, well, I have enough to get over and back. Well, on the way back, guess what happened? The red light came on. I didn't run out of gas, but the red light came on. And I thought, isn't that the way all of us are? We put everything off till the last minute. Now, what does the Proverbs tell us? Go to the ant, sluggard. So I had a little conversation with myself. If you're low on gas, don't risk it. Okay? And go to the ant, sluggard, because they store up for the winter. They do it in the summer. Well, now, for us today, with all of our supermarkets and everything here, how many have gardens that they live 50% off their own garden? Not a hand raised. So I'll put mine down. Okay? If you had to make a garden, would you know what to do? No. Some would. Some would. Okay? Now, the next time you have a nice cut of meat, regardless of what it is, fish, fowl, beef, lamb, whatever, think about what it would take if you had to grow that and breed it. Think what that would take. Okay? So, let's not leave everything to the last minute, and especially financially. How many times through the years you've heard me say, get out of debt, get out of debt, don't go into debt. If you go into debt, make sure that you have a way to get out of it. See? Okay. Look at everybody today. Now, right here in Hollister, there's a new subdivision they've built just south of us. Nice big homes, wonderful homes, up to 4,000 square feet, two-story. And the people are commuting to San Jose or Santa Clara to go to work. And now, between 3 and 6, the turnoff from the main highway to the Hollister Highway is one long line of cars, because people are moving down here, buying these homes. Okay? They pay $500,000 for them. Now, maybe they sold a home in San Jose and were able to pay it down. But what are you going to do with a $200,000 mortgage? And the taxes. And then buying the food, living there, and all of that. Now, I bring this up for this reason. We're going to talk first about some financial things. Did you know there's widespread inflation in Canada because of the downturn in the sands oil? Did you know that there is wild inflation in Venezuela? Almost runaway inflation in Brazil? And Argentina's gone this way with changing currencies and inflation in the last 50 years, probably 6 or 8 times. Okay. How about Greece? Inflation in Ukraine. How about here in America? I'm sure none of you have seen any of the prices of anything go up. They've doubled over a period of time. Give you an example. Simple thing. Simple thing. Wheat bran. Now, Nob Hill used to sell for 79 cents a pound. And you get a lot of wheat bran because, you know, for 79 cents. Guess what it is now? $1.49 a pound. Steaks that used to cost $8 a pound, they're $14 and $15. So we're going to hit a time when it's going to really explode everywhere. There's inflation going on right now in starting in Japan. It's been deflation for a while. China is going to have great problems because financially the magnitude of the problems in China are something. India has runaway inflation. It's going to hit here. So we all need to take the lesson from the ant and have some things stored. Have some things on hand. Because as we're going to see, when it reaches a certain point, the banks shut down. And remember Cyprus. Remember that? Remember what happened? They shut the banks down for what? 10 days? And they had what is called a bail-in instead of a bailout. Everybody who had more than 100,000 euros, the bank confiscated it. Now, that law's in place in Europe right now. Now, why do they need that? Because they've been charging zero interest rate. Well, how's a bank going to make money on zero interest rate? Can't do it. It's going to happen here. There's already a plan on the books that if a financial crunch comes in America, which it eventually will, that all of those who have the retirement plans, 401ks, KEOs, etc., they will be forced to take government bonds. And the government will take the money. And we're in such a position now, who can stop it? Who can resist it? So we have to take the warning. If you don't, God says, last line in verse 4, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the ram's horn and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon him. But if he had taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the ram's horn, and the people are not warned, if the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at the watchman's head. Hand, rather. Head is more like it. Okay. And you, son of man, I have set you as a watchman over the house of Israel. Now, every elder and minister is what? Acts 20, an overseer of the flock of God, correct? So wherever they are, whoever the minister is, you can't say, let him do it, let him do it, let him do it. No, I can't speak harsh words to the people in my congregation. They're such a loving group. Well, what does God say? Therefore, you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. Now, what is the simplest thing in the Bible? Obey my voice. Now it's all written down. So this is from God at any time that affects the children of Israel. Ezekiel 33, as we go on here. When I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die. If you do not speak to warn the wicked one of his way, the wicked one shall die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at your hand. But if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. In other words, all who are ministers and teachers in the churches of God have a responsibility to warn of coming problems and disasters that are going to take place. Okay? Especially now at the end time. Verse 10, and you, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, thus shall you speak. When our transgressions and our sins are on us, and we are wasting away in them, how then shall we live? That's precisely where we are today, isn't it? I've got a book, The Numbing of the American Mind, by, got it over next door. I just got it. By the fellow who did How Evil Works. Okay? Well, I'll think of it here as we go along. But anyway, he's doing a good job of warning. Look at what is happening in America today. One little clue. Guess how many people have sexually transmitted diseases out of the entire population of the United States? 110 million, one-third. That tells you what they're doing, doesn't it? Okay. So we have to tell them whether they like it or not. See? It's not a matter of pleasing people. Here, hold your place here. And come to Isaiah 30. Let's see what most people want. Isaiah 30. All right. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not of me. Isn't that true? Isn't that what the debate was the other night? Who's got the best plan? Well, if it's not according to God, it doesn't matter. Who form an alliance, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. All right, let's come down here to verse 8. Go now, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, all through all generations of the house of Israel, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions. Now, the majority of the Protestants believe there's going to be a rapture and they're going to be whisked off and they're not going to suffer anything. Well, they're going to be greatly mistaken. And they continue on, get out of the way, turn aside, out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want to hear that increase in agnostics and atheists and so forth. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you have despised this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel shall smash it to pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water out of the pit. One more verse, verse 15. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, and in quietness and hope shall be your strength. But you were not willing. The choice, see? Now come back here to Ezekiel 33 again. Now here's what God wants us all to know. Though we have to speak of these things, though there has to be warnings, though there are difficulties and problems that take place, notice what God says to say to them first. Say to them, as I live. Now when God says, as I live, he's swearing by himself. As I live, says the Lord God, I have no delight in the death of the wicked, except that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Well, God doesn't like to see that. And some of these messages are hard to hear. You know, if you read through and study the book of Jeremiah, that's a pretty heavy book. Well, Ezekiel is a whole lot heavier. Therefore, then he says, tell the righteous, if you sin, your past righteousness isn't going to save you. And tell the sinner that if you repent, your sins will not be remembered. So God is fair. Okay? Now, I want to cover some things concerning economics, because we're going to be in for some big surprises. Now, I have two partial reports here. How many have been following the stock markets in China? Okay. China had $6 trillion in reserves because in order to rescue their stock market, they had to use $3 trillion in the last 3 months. And they're not done with it yet. It's still sitting there like this. Okay. Now, what did they do to get the $3 trillion? They had to sell their reserves. What were most of their reserves? U.S. Treasury bond. Have you ever heard of the Exchange Stabilization Fund? Never heard of that? Neither did I. What is it? Well, it worked like this. They know $1 trillion of those bonds were sold to the Fed and were not put on the books. They're not on the books in any account anywhere in the world. The answer is the Exchange Stabilization Fund. Guess when it was founded? In 1933. And when did FDR confiscate all the gold? 33 and 34. And revalued gold after he got it all. I forget the exact figures, but it went from 20 to like about $23 or whatever. Later it got up to $42. They had to get out of that. And a lot of people don't remember that in 1930, the thing that caused one of the major things of the worldwide depression was that England went off the gold standard, affected worldwide trade. Okay, so where did the $1 trillion worth of bonds go? May have gone to the Exchange Stabilization Fund, an unaccounted mass fund controlled by the Federal Reserve. And I don't care how many resolutions that Congress wants to make, they are never going to audit the Fed. Now, what did this result in? It resulted in keeping the stock market in America from going down and from devaluing the dollar. They want to keep the dollar as high as they can for as long as they can, because all of the other currencies in the world are experiencing mass inflation and they're having to sell their T-bills in order to have liquidity to cover their deficits. So the only ones who are going to buy them will be the Fed. So through the years with this Exchange Stabilization Fund, how many trillions of dollars have they put in there? So when this point would come, because don't you think they knew this point would come when they were doing the things that they were doing? I remember one of the first things that Bernanke said that he wanted to read the history of what happened in Germany with the Weimar Republic when they had that absolutely horrendous runaway inflation. They couldn't print money fast enough, and it took up to a wheelbarrow full of paper marks in order to buy a loaf of bread. Mass unemployment. Europe was in terrible shape. Okay, so when they finally decided to back Hitler, what did they do? They wiped it all out and started with a new currency. So guess what's going to happen? There will be a massive devaluation of the dollar. They predict 40%, maybe more. 40% just for a start. Okay. Now, remember how I have said there must be a world currency. Now, that has to come first, before the mark of the beast. So here's a magazine, January 8, 1988, The Economist. And it says right on the front of it, get ready for a world currency. And they show the phoenix rising up on the burning dollars, and of course that'll be every currency in the world, and there's a coin around the neck of the phoenix that gives the year 2018. Amazing, isn't it? What they have to do. And so we see this happening right now. All the currencies are just wild, and especially with oil going down, some predict that it will go below $20 a barrel. And even the oil of Alberta Sands, raw, right out of the ground, is only worth $8 a barrel. So think what's going to happen, okay? Why do they have to do this? Because the monetary system of every nation stands for the sovereignty of that nation. So all nations have to give up the power of creating money and turn it over to a world body. Now, how do you do that? How do you get nations to do that? By the very thing we're seeing going on right now. And it will increase and multiply. Comment was made, the extraction of the sands oil is so expensive that at $8 a barrel, they're not even going to put a shovel in the ground. Now also, all the oil-producing nations, Saudi Arabia and all of the Gulf states, are pumping oil like there's no tomorrow. So is Russia. And there are huge tankers just sitting full of oil. No one is buying it. They only have so many ships. Now what are you going to do after that? So Russia's in trouble. Saudi Arabia's in trouble. The other Arab Emirates down there are in trouble. And they're all doing this to try and prevent Iran from selling oil. Well, all they're going to do is bankrupt themselves, and Iran is just going to sit there and turn around and sell oil. So you see, in order to get the governments to surrender economic sovereignty, you must make their currencies worthless, all at the same time. I read another report. Hooray for California. You know, the communists are in charge of California. So their big pension funds, since you can't earn interest on investments in America, or very little, what they did, they bought 250,000, I don't think it was million, 250,000 as a start, of Russian bonds valued in rubles. And that pays the pension fund 7.5%. Whereas U.S. Treasuries, you get nothing. So you see how topsy-turvy it is. But Russia's going to be in such a position, I don't think that Russia will be able to ever make it good. They might be able to make some payments on that 7.5%. But look at where that puts all the pension funds. Everything. So this is what is coming about, okay? At the time this is written, it says, governments are far from ready to subordinate their domestic objectives to the goal of international stability. And the thing that is causing right now with these money wars, the exchange rate. How much of one currency can you get with the currency you have if you want to buy another? Right now, the Chinese yuan is at about 6.35. They tried keeping up with the strengthening of the dollar, and the only reason that the dollar is strong is because of the equalization stabilization fund there, okay? So they can buy these things back and poof, disappear, which I don't know. I think I made the comment last week that if Trump gets in as president next year, what he ought to do is tell the Fed, look, you created all this money out of nothing, so it's worth nothing, so you don't get anything. Now, I don't think he would live very much longer if he did that, but nevertheless, okay? So I just want you to be aware that these financial things are coming now then. And truly then it will happen, as we see. Come here to Isaiah, the second chapter. Let's see what God says of Israel. Now remember, God promised to make Israel the head. He did do it, didn't he? The riches. He did do it, didn't he? Yes. God kept all of his promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, didn't he? Yes, he did. All right? Not Isaiah 2, Isaiah 1. Now, here we find the same thing. God says, let's pick it up here, chapter 1 and verse 15. See, all the way through, and that's what needs to be given all the way through. God offers repentance. If you repent, I'll pull back my hand. But you get further into the book of Isaiah from chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. God says, my hand is stretched out still. That means the hand of his correction is still stretched out because there's no repentance. So verse 15, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. They come to God and want the smooth things. They don't want to repent. So God says, verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God always promises that, right? But if you refuse, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So it's going to come. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, and your wine mixed with water. Your rulers are rebellious and companions of thieves. Wonder how the Clinton Foundation was raised up. Everyone loves a bribe, as Hillary said, when asked why she would charge $250,000 for one speech of 40 minutes long. I mean, calculate how much that is for every minute. Okay. Oh, well, they wanted to hear these things. For $250,000, you could buy a $2 paperback and learn more. Loves a bride and pursuing rewards. They do not judge the orphan, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. And the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, says, alas, I myself will vent my wrath upon my foes and avenge myself upon my enemies. So that's what's going to be coming. Think of it. When God says, the land is full of adulterers and 110 million have sexually transmitted diseases, is that not a true statement? Yes, indeed. God knows. All right. Now let's look at couple of things here. Let's come to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Okay, verse 5. The vile one shall no more be called liberal, nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the vile will speak folly, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to speak error against the Lord, to make the soul of the hungry empty and to take away the drink of the thirsty. Now you can apply this spiritually and physically. Also, the weapons of the vile are evil. He thinks of wicked ways to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks right. But the liberal thinks liberal things, and by liberal things he shall stand. And we can add there, and fall. All right, let's come to Proverbs. Look at a couple of Proverbs here concerning money. And today, this is surely going to be true. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Proverbs 22, 4. Isn't that true? Now what happens when you have everything digital? You go buy something digital, okay? You pay, let's just say, $100 for it, just to keep the math easy, simple. The person that you bought it from takes this digital entry and sends it to the bank. And the bank deducts from 2.5% to 3% as a fee on every transaction. So the banks are going to make the money coming and going, won't they? And then they give you the privilege of paying the minimum amount. Now, have you ever read on your credit card how long it would take you to pay something back if you just paid the minimum amount? Read it carefully, especially if you have one of those low interest cards at 22.9% interest. I mean, some of the cards go up to 29.9% interest if you just pay the minimum. On that $100 you charge it, if you paid $5, your card is still in good standing. But think of the interest you're going to pay. And think of how many years it would take to pay it off. All right? Okay. The borrower's slave to the lender. Now let's come over here, Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 4. Do not weary yourself to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. When your eyes look upon it, it is gone. Now, that's what's going to happen to a lot of these digital accounts. There, people are going to think, oh, I've got so much money in the bank. But when the axe falls and the computers suck it out, there's going to be nothing left. See? Now, even if you have real money, what are you going to do with inflation at 40%? So think about it. Everything, and remember that everyone made fun of Jeremiah Wright. You know who Jeremiah Wright was? Is Barack Hussein Obama's so-called Christian pastor. And he wouldn't bless America. He said, no, oh, damn America. And the chickens will come home to roost. Remember that? They're coming home to roost. And how many blessings do you see out there? Not very many blessings. So that's why we need the warnings. So we can be alert. We can pay attention. We can be on guard. We can do some things to keep ourselves from getting in deeper and deeper trouble. It's going to be tough enough as it is when it comes. What is it going to be? Well, I remember, just going back here, I remember when we could buy oral wheat bread, the best bread at the time, made with the best ingredients, and it was $1.79 a loaf, which at that time, years and years ago, that was pretty cheap. I said, what are we going to do when it gets over $2? Well, now that same loaf of bread costs $4.99. Now, if there's rampant inflation, it's going to be $4.99 today, $5.99 tomorrow, $6.99 in 3 days, and yet your money is worth 40% left, 40% less. So, and they won't sell it by the slice. See? All right. Your eyes shall look upon it, it's gone, for surely riches make wings for themselves, and they fly into heaven like an eagle. Poof. It is gone. Now, let me just say this. We don't know how much time there is in the current economy, how long it will hold together. Maybe this equalization stability fund will act like a big black hole, that the Fed will buy these, put them into the black hole, and not carry them on the books. Now, how long will that work? We don't know. I'll just finish this portion here. The only saving grace out of the whole thing is that if the churches of God really tend to business the way they ought to and do the work of God the way that He wants, maybe there will be some time extended to us. But God only knows that. Because the gospel has to be preached, and the people have to be warned. Now, there are many, many others who are warning. Different ones are warning about the finances. Different ones are warning about the government. Different ones are warning about crime. Different ones are warning about drugs. Different ones are warning about immigration. Different ones are fighting against abortion, and so forth. So there are some people trying to take a stand for some things. But will that be enough? We don't know. We just do not know. All right? Now, the stranger rising up above you? Yes. I have the UK at 7 and Europe at 7, and the United States at 5. Okay? Now then, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back.